Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
I'll tell you the three guys who I thought did the most to turn the day around for the 49ers. Guard, center, guard. Burford, Brindle, and Banks got their rear ends handed to them. I mean, that was trench warfare. It truly was. And that 49ers offensive line was having a difficult time opening up a single running lane or buying a third Mississippi for Brock Purdy at any point in time. The fourth Mississippi was never in the cards, not even when things started going well for the 49ers. That Dallas defensive line was moving the line of scrimmage on top of Brock all afternoon. The pocket shrinkage, is that a thing? Yes, it's a thing. The shrinkage for both pockets, really. I mean, Dak didn't have an awful lot of room to maneuver in, but he was only sacked once. That's kind of the also, that's sort of strange that Dak was that uncomfortable, because it wasn't a day where he was being made ultra uncomfortable by the 49ers defensive line, which didn't have a particularly dominant afternoon either. The Dallas Cowboys offensive line was winning that football game early, or their defensive line was winning that football game early, and then Burford, Brindle, Banks, I don't know what they did at halftime. I mean, we were joked last week that there are no halftime adjustments. Maybe they got a voodoo doll. Maybe they said a little prayer. Maybe they ate a magical orange slices, which increased their power twofold. I don't know. But that offensive line in the middle was terrible in the first and second quarter. Was very good in the second half when it needed to be. I mean, even take the very out of it. They were good. They got better than terrible, which is what they were in that first half. So it was a slobber knocker, man. It really was. That was an ugly, ugly football game that puts the 49ers into the NFC title game, of all things.
Well, I think that the difference in the 49er offensive line was in the second half, they were run blocking, not pass blocking. Because I think pass blocking was where they struggled. They ran the ball 21 times in the second half, and I think they threw the ball 10 times. That became Kyle Shanahan's kind of grinder game. Not because he likes to be conservative, but because he's built a team that is run first. And they only ran the ball 11 times in the first half. That I guess, surprised me a little, just based on the law of big numbers. But the second half, they recommitted to the run, and the offense worked better because they can run the ball. So I think the game turned because the 49ers got that touchdown, and then they were able to turn it into a grinders game. And they're just better at grinding than Dallas is.
Well, and let's face it, George Kittle made an unbelievable catch in the most important drive of the game. We're talking late third quarter. Brock Purdy is sacked on 3rd and 9, and it looked like it was either going to be, punt city or ask Robbie Gould to do it again, Robbie, but from a distance that would have made him uncomfortable. But that drive gets extended by a holding call on Dallas. And Kittle, look, he was grabbed. And then there was a holding call on the very next play as well. Ray, neither call was a home cooking call.
No, like, they were both legitimate.
Yeah, if you're going to grab someone, I mean, normally you got to be on a dance floor to grab somebody by their waist like that and hug them. And they were bad, bad decisions that turned out to be drive-sustaining moments for the San Francisco 49ers. So now you got first and 10 from the 10. Kyle Juszczyk runs it on first down. He gains 8 yards. That's the end of the third quarter, and the very first play of the fourth quarter is Christian McCaffrey doing this. Kevin Burkhardt on Fox.
McCaffrey right up the gut and in. Touchdown, San Francisco.
10 plays, 91 yards. It was the best drive of the game for the 49ers offense, but they still needed two flags to help them down that field. George Kittle talked about how he was, grabbed like a sack of potatoes.
I knew it was third down. It was a play we installed on Friday. It's a high red zone play. It was definitely not the look that we thought we were going to get, but the guy was squatting. I just had a post route across the middle, and he was sitting on it heavy, and he was sitting in a chair, and I knew that if I just got on and watching the tape, they like to hold and grab a little bit, and he put both arms around my waist and kind of tripped one of my legs. I was like, well, I'm not going to get away from this because he's holding me so bad, so I'm just going to fall, and it's exactly what happened. I had a play last week where I got literally tackled in the middle of my route, and the back ref was like, hey, if he would have thrown it to you, I would have thrown a flag. And I was like, I can't catch the ball if I'm on the ground, man. Hey, great referee play. But that one, I'm definitely just going to sell it as hard as I can because, it was a flag regardless. But if I went down, I'm just happy. Sends the drive and we score a touchdown.
I mean, you didn't really have to sell it, but it helps because that way what they might have missed, it was easier to see. But George Kittle drawing a huge, huge penalty on 3rd and 9 to keep a drive going was just massive. And then the juggling catch that he made was a play that wasn't even supposed to happen. He wasn't even supposed to run where he ran. He wasn't even in the reeds of the route trees. And he just sort of improvised. He even said, I put a white glove up and hope Brock would see it. And he did. What a catch. What a catch. Brock Purdy.
That part of the game, we needed something. We needed a spark, get the ball rolling. And for Kittle to make a play like that, you just feel it in the whole stadium. Like, man, that felt good, to get a big gain like that and get us going. So, props to Kittle. He's one of our, last options in that play. But he kept the play alive by, feeling space. And I got my eyes back and he was there. So it was awesome.
It wasn't pretty. Didn't need to be. The 49ers got it done. They got it done, and, they had to have been laughing at that final formation of the game. This is where Mike McCarthy's day deserves to be just a touch longer than it normally would have been. Because, that was just cockamamie. I've never seen anything before the snap that looked as stupid as that on an NFL football field.
There have been a couple, but they ended equally badly. I think the Colts had one of those. I know Washington did when Jim Zorn was a coach, where they basically threw everybody on one side of the field. And predictably, the guy with the ball got trucked almost immediately. But that's just a play where you're going, everything has to work perfectly, and the 49ers have to forget why they're on the field. And neither of those things happen because, one, Elliott gets trucked immediately. And then, the receiver gets trucked. It's the Cowboys had very little chance at that point, but they gave themselves none with that.
And look, obviously they need the band is on the field level of play out of that. And it's supposed to be hook and lateral city at some point, in which case, you're officially allowing the cosmos to determine whether you're going to win or not there. And the amount of luck needed should the whole thing been executed perfectly is still an extreme amount of luck. I want to know what was supposed to happen. Like, what was really supposed to happen? Was that in the middle of the field and now you're going to have two wide receivers coming underneath and crossing routes to lateral two? Was Ezekiel Elliott supposed to snap the ball and then immediately become lateral eligible, because he wouldn't be pass eligible, but lateral eligible he would have been? So was he supposed to be the first, or not the first guy, the second guy touching the ball? Why did Dak throw to the player who looked like he would be most in jeopardy of getting tackled immediately in traffic? And then had the throw even been perfect, maybe something happens, but Dak gives him a hospital ball. He throws it too high.
But he also threw it to a guy in Turpin who's not one of their receiving options most of the time. So even if the ball's thrown well, the chances that he drops it are far greater than if he's throwing it to, say, Schultz. You know, it just they concocted this bizarre play, which has no history of working at anywhere higher than Piedmont High School. And then they threw to the wrong guy, and the wrong guy basically had no time to do anything because the 49ers sussed what they were trying to do out. Again, credit to them, because they were utterly unfazed by what was supposed to be a look that confuses them, and they were utterly unconfused.
Nick Bosa wasn't even on the field for that last play. He's watching from the sideline going, what am I looking at?
I was kind of mad I wasn't out there in the last one, but I guess they wanted some faster guys than me. But yeah, that was great. Z's just dumped him over, and Jimmy cleaned him up, ended it real quick.
What is Ezekiel Elliott doing snapping that ball?
He's supposed to be like the first or second option with the lateral.
Okay, so then
but he's got to be able to get downfield, and as soon as he started to backpedal and then got trucked, that play's blown up.
Well, so what I'm saying is, why would you put him in that situation? Why wouldn't you have him lining up directly next to the center who you're still asking to snap the ball, or have him somewhere, you know, in the slot or whatever? I mean, I don't even know what you would call it, because they spread guys out to the sidelines. I mean, they were outside the hash marks. It was
my answer to that is very simple. Beats the hell out of me.
Well, again, this is,
nobody's got an answer to this one. I looked all over the internet this morning for somebody who could draw up the play that this was supposed to look like. And everybody who has given it a try gets close to something and then just throws their hands up.
Mike McCarthy, what were you thinking?
Boy, that's a great question.
What were you thinking? Like, pull out your whiteboard and your dry erase marker and just tell me what was supposed to happen. In your mind's eye, what was supposed to happen? And I don't get it. I mean, nobody gets it, really.
His answer when asked yesterday was, what didn't happen? He said, well, that wasn't how it was supposed to go. Well, how was it supposed to go?
Exactly. That would be my follow-up. Well, what was supposed to happen? I'll tell you what was supposed to happen was Dalton Schultz was supposed to drag his other foot in bounds to give them a shot at the good old-fashioned conventional Hail Mary that Dak might have been able to throw towards the end zone, but the 7-8, 10-yard difference, because Schultz went out of bounds and he didn't have that second foot in. So then they're left with, you know, what do they call? Is that the annexation of Puerto Rico? What the hell is that? Look it up, kids.
Yeah.
Little Giants. It's a Rick Moranis movie.
Okay, fine.
Yeah. Annexation.
You're going to keep throwing movie references at me, and you're going to get the same blank expression every time.
Well, but that's why I explain it. Okay. Icebox, right?
Well, you don't even have to involve me.
Well, you know, you're here, so I might as well. Okay.
He tried. I mean, he's not their best weapon. He certainly wasn't yet. I mean, they threw the ball more to Lamb than they did Schultz. But Schultz was the guy who'd had the big day the week before. So I guess they just figured, he'll make magic. I just think, in a macro sense, the Cowboys stopped understanding what they wanted to do in the game once Pollard went down.
Well, if you got no plan B, you better hope plan A works and stay healthy. And that's bad planning in a football game. If the only way you're going to win is if everything goes right, then maybe you ain't the right guy for the job. Or maybe your general manager, Jerry Jones, isn't doing a very good job building a roster out.
I think you have stumbled on the winning answer there.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Total, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.